Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise God once again for this year. This is the voice of a man that loves God. I'm here to tell you tonight that God has a word from you. And I want to welcome back Jason, a man of God, has a word for us. He has a word to tell us tonight. So let's take time to hear him. Jason, you're on there. God bless you. Hello. Praise the living God. Amen. See, God is so awesome until, you know, I was teaching someone today and telling about the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands. So what we have to remember is the Apostle Paul writes these words in Hebrews 1:60. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into perfection by laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Of the doctrines of baptism, of laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead to eternal judgment. But when we take notice of what God is saying to us, God is saying to us, he's ready for us to take the principle, the basic principle that God has for us to do. And a lot of us don't even come to the point to understand what God is saying to us. It's a principle, it's a doctrine that has been established by the apostles to let us know. It's a principle. See, the doctrine is a set clause to work involved in. You don't go outside, you go inside. You stay right in what has been set up. A lot of people will do what they need to do, but I'm here to tell you tonight while Jason is on the process of coming on the air, I want to tell you, our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. And there is no hand, nobody can do what God wants done. But you know, the world we live in, we got to get ourselves busier. A lot of us today, we say we're going, we want to do this. But see, I don't have time to play games. And I've said this many times. Get ready, because Jesus is on the way back. Are we ready to make him? Amen. See, today is the day that God has set for us to do what he's called us to do. And we have to do it. I tell you this much. This God we serve is an awesome God. He still has love in his heart. He still has patience in his heart. He still loves us. He still loves us. You know why God still loves us? Because Jesus still loves us. So the question is, do you still love Jesus? That's something you have to ask and answer for yourself. Because you are the only one that can answer that question. See, but you got some things when we take notice in that word I was telling you about. The things, and I know this, that we look at it. The doctrines of baptism. We ain't been talking much about baptism. There are two baptisms. There's a baptism in the spirit, and there's a water baptism. When you have water baptism, it fires that you've been buried in a liquid grave, just as Jesus was. But when you get to a spiritual baptism, you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And God does that for mankind, for all who can believe. Hallelujah. See, and then we look at when we talk about laying hands, somebody, the hand, supposed to be divine hands put in by God for us to do what God has called us to do. A lot of people want to be laying hands on people, but I have to just bring in and point out to you. Laying hands is a good principle. You can help somebody that's young, old, help a baby up. But when you lay the hands, you're laying your hands for the impartation of the Spirit of the living God upon that person. And that person to an understanding to say, yes, Lord, whatever you say, ready. You're on there. Come on, Jason, you're on there. And I will. As I was saying and speaking, and I was, I got a new board here. I got it covered up. But let me tell you something. Jensen, Jason, it's good to your voice. Amen.
You too, Dr. Honey. You too.
Amen. Go right ahead and let the Lord use you on the show. You're on the program. Go ahead.
Amen. Well, first I want to say greetings, Dr. Hunter, and it's just so good to hear your voice again this evening and be able to fellowship with you on the radio show. I want to say grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, also to our listening audience. And we're going to open tonight's message and scripture. We're going to open with the book of Psalms, chapter 37, verses 39 through 40. Amen. And it says, the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Amen. Amen. So last week we talked about salvation in reference to there's being their salvation and then there's being having a abundance in Jesus Christ and the difference between the two, that a lot of times we get saved and we get put on the helmet of salvation, but we're not living our life to the full in Jesus Christ. So we talked about that a little bit last week, and during the process of living life to the full in Christ, the pruning process that goes on, obedience to Jesus Christ and staying in Jesus' love is a three major parts of having an abundance in Christ and not just putting on the helmet of salvation. This week, we're going to talk about, you know, learning to depend on the Holy Spirit, depending on the Holy Spirit in every place in our life. Learning to lean on the Lord for him being our stronghold in our times of trouble, and learning to take refuge in him, the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, in our life. And so we're going to talk about, you know, four primary areas. We're going to talk about leaning on the Holy Spirit to guide us through when our testimony about him is met with rejection, met with hostility. Because, you know, all of us have a story, and even though we may not all get up and just start preaching the gospel, we are called as servants of Christ who have been saved by his blood to witness to others, to testify about what he's done in our life to others so that they may also see salvation in their lives. But sometimes, whether we're talking about a testimony or the fact that we just exist around those that don't believe what we believe, the fact that we represent him can be met with rejection and hostility and resistance. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how to depend on the Holy Spirit during those times. We're going to get a little bit into understanding why Jesus returned to the Father. He told his disciples he was going to return to the Father. He was going to send the Comforter, and the benefits of Jesus doing that and sending the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to us to lead us and guide us. We'll talk a little bit about how the Holy Spirit leads us in our relationship with Christ and how we receive truth from the Holy Spirit. And so just really depending, learning to depend on the Holy Spirit, and not just in a general way, but in an everyday personal way in all our individual situations, big and small. So, again, depending on the Holy Spirit daily. We're going to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and we're going to read from verse 26, and we're going to go through to chapter 16, verse 4. So 15:26 through chapter 16, verse 4, and I will read. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father will testify about me. And you also must testify. You hear that? You also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16, verse 1. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. And I have told you this, so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. So in this passage, Jesus is telling us that, you know, number one, that there's going to be time because we represent him, that we're going to be met with rejection and hostility. There's going to be resistance that we're going to deal with, okay? And so in times of hostility and persecution, whether it's face-to-face where we're in a job or we're in some sort of function and, you know, we start talking about the word and then we're met, for what we're speaking and representing is met with, you know, resistance, whatever the case may be, how does the Holy Spirit help us during those times? And it's two parts. The Holy Spirit helps us in those times, but he also prepares us for those times. So there's preparation that goes on to prepare us for any situation that we are confronted with because we represent and we're declaring the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he prepares us by being in relationship with God, being in relationship with Jesus Christ. So in our relationship with him, that daily relationship, as we talked about so many times, through reading our word and our prayer time Amen. And in our circumstances, because we seem to bear, and I keep saying it over and over again, reading the word and our prayer time, and through our circumstances, through our relationship with him daily, he prepares us and feeds us his word. Because, see, the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors of Christ. Ambassadors of Christ. And what is an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who is qualified, who has credentials, and who goes out from whom he serves. He plants the flag
right.
in foreign lands, in foreign situations, okay? And when he is there, he does not represent himself. He or her, they do not represent themselves, but they represent the person who sent them. So when an American ambassador goes out there as an American flag, and the people that is surrounding them are not necessarily looking at them, but they're looking at the institution that that person represents. That is where some of the attacks come from. And so when we, as ambassadors of Christ, when we go somewhere, people should see the love of Christ and the love of the Father because we're not representing ourselves and our own personal opinions and all these different things. We represent him. And when we speak his word and the things God gives us. But if we don't read our word, then there's no seed. And if God is not able to put a seed in us, then there's no harvest coming from that. And so that's why it's important that in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, he teaches us, he does all these different things, that we be in that relationship so we can be fed and be prepared to be able to stand in those times of trial. Amen. Amen. Again, also through prayer and hope and instructions how to respond to these things. And so with the purpose being, as he prepares us, what we say is supposed to give glory to God and not ourselves. In Luke chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, it says, Jesus says, before all this, they would seize you and persecute you. They would hand you over to the synagogue and put you in prison, and you would be brought before kings and governors, all on account of my name. So I want to stop right there. See, sometimes we start to confuse all persecution for being persecuted for being a Christian. But we know a lot of times that's not always true. Sometimes we get persecuted because we represented ourselves. We got in our flesh and we said some things and stuff like that, and we getting people coming against us because we didn't got angry and went off on somebody. But see, what Jesus reminded us that it is one thing to be getting persecuted and being dealt with because of something we've done, but it's another thing entirely when it's because of his name. And so that's why he makes a point to say here in verse 12 at the end, he says, and you will be brought before kings and governors and all on account of my name. So we need to make sure that when we're standing, then we're standing on his word, so that when any persecution that comes, it's because we represent him. Verse 13 says, and so you will bear testimony to me. Verse 14 says, but make up your minds not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself, for I will give you the words of wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. And see, the Bible is a powerful, powerful tool for us. It is, the Bible refers to it as our sword. It is what we defend ourselves with. Amen. And see, what I've learned in my walk is, you know, a lot of times when you start getting this debate or you start trying to convince people of the Bible, or you're trying to testify to someone and whatnot, I find that it's just best to leave personal opinions and all those things to the side, because people can trip you up on your personal opinions. But when you deliver the God's word to someone, you pass the word of life and truth to them, then there's no way that they can resist or contradict it. As a matter of fact, when it gets to the point where you start to realize it's not you that they would have a problem with, but it's God's word. And so that's the reason why Jesus says, for I will give you the words of wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist and contradict. And he does that through the Holy Spirit, which he sent to us. Amen. So we're going to continue on in John 16, and go through verses 5 to 7. And it says, Jesus continues, he says, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you ask, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. So we talked about one of the things you said we're going to talk about, depending on the Holy Spirit, is, you know, Jesus goes away to be with the Father, but what was the benefits of him going? Well, one of the major benefits of him going, he says, unless I go away, the advocate will not come. And he says in verse 6, but very truly it is for your good that I'm going away. It's for your good that I'm going away. And so the benefits, we get the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works in the hearts and minds and dwells in the believer, no matter where we are, no matter where we are. So then, and it leads and instructs us to do Jesus' good works. And so that's the benefits we get. We get the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit and Jesus speaks through the Holy Spirit to us to instruct us, to comfort us, to give us wisdom and discernment in all our situations, so that way that in everything we do, we proclaim him who made us, and we glorify Jesus' holy name. We're going to continue on, same chapter, verses 8 through 11. Amen. It says, when he comes. See, now Jesus, what he's going to do now, he's going to teach what, now that he says it's for our good that I will send the Holy Spirit, now he's going to tell us why and what the Holy Spirit is going to do. How is it that he's going to, in more detail, how he's going to benefit us. And he says in verse 8, and when he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness. Amen. And judgment. And see, he didn't stop right then. He went on here and described sin, righteousness, and judgment. In verse 9, he says, about sin, because people do not believe in me. about righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the prince of the world, now stands condemned. You see, this is very important, three things that Jesus is saying, because, again, let's say verse 19 about sin, because the Holy Spirit, because we have the Holy Spirit as believers, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. That's the other part of it. It makes us aware of sin in our life, not to condemn us, but to make us aware of sin of our life, in our life, so that way that we're always aware of those things and we're confessing those things before the Father. You know, I'm troubled a lot of times when I hear people, hey, Christians, they will say that, you know, they will continue to practice in sin, and, you know, they will tell me, well, you know, God knows me, and, you know, that's just how I am. And they have no conviction, they have no desire at all to not only stop practicing the sin, but they don't see anything wrong with it. And so that's troubling, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will convict us of the world of sin, because it will make us aware of sin in our life. And it helps us to get before the Father. You know, none of us are perfect. And see, this makes this clear. We're talking about practicing. We're not talking about sin in general. We all sin, and we do it daily. But there's a difference when we actually have active practicing sin in our life. You know, there's a difference, especially in the believer and whatnot. And so the Holy Spirit makes us aware. Since when we have the Holy Spirit, then, you know, we should be aware of sin in our life. If you find someone that says, well, I just really have no desire to change, and, you know, I love Jesus, but, you know, I'm just going to be, then what we really need to be spending a lot of time is figuring out maybe there was something wrong with the conversion to Christianity. Maybe there was something wrong with the rebirth. Because the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and the old is gone. So the old ways we had should be gone. And so we really need to evaluate if we find ourselves in a place where we are practicing sin in our life, yet we have no conviction, we have nothing, we don't feel any, have any issue with continuing in it. You know, because I know people that, and to include myself in my own past life, where, you know, I'm saying, doing things, but I struggle turning away from things. But I was convicted every time I did it, and I just didn't want to do it, but I felt like I couldn't stop. That's a different thing. But I've encountered some folks where there's just no reservation at all, and they should be able to have both worlds, Christ and themselves. And my Bible tells me you cannot serve two masters. We cannot worship ourselves and worship God at the same time. And so that's why that portion is important. The Holy Spirit also leads us in the ways of righteousness of Christ. Okay? It teaches us the righteousness of Christ. It leads us in righteousness as we pursue righteousness in our life. Because, you see, when we stand before the Father, the great thing about being saved and covered in his blood, we get to stand before the Father and be clothed in his righteousness and not our own. Okay? That's the great thing about it. So while we're in this earth and we're trying to serve him and we're trying to get out there and be used so others can hear the gospel, hear the good news, then the Holy Spirit along the way is teaching us the word and showing us how to apply it to our life. And he's leading us in the righteousness of Christ, not of ourselves. Another big thing that the Holy Spirit does for us as we depend on the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us before God. Intercedes for us before God. Because even in serving God, you know, we can be the most Holy Ghost filled and praying warrior, or we can just really have words of wisdom and encouragement. We could be doing great things before God, but it doesn't change that along the way we're still going to have some struggles and shortcomings along the way. And so Apostle Paul puts it best. He says in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27, he says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people according with the will of God. Of course,
amen.
Let me put it down again. And he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So he intercedes for us before the Father. Amen. Lastly, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. That's what the Bible says. It is the Spirit of truth. He leads us in all truth. Amen. If we continue in John 16 down to verses 12 through 15, it says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. What is yet to come. So he leads us in all truth. And we know as believers the only real truth in this world, and this world is in God's word. It's in the scripture. It comes from our Father in heaven. That's the only
Amen.
Real truth that we ever need to be concerned about. Yeah, sure, we have a lot of books and self-improvement bits and all these different things. And don't get me wrong, we have some men and women of God that's written some powerful books on explaining some of the mysteries of the Bible, further elaborating on life applications and how to apply certain things. But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that but the source of real truth and all truth comes from our Father in heaven, comes from our Father in heaven. James chapter 1, verse 17, he says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows.
Amen.
He does not change. So the same God that appeared to Abraham is the same God that is on the throne today. The same God who appeared to Moses in the burning bush is the same God that's on the throne today. He does not change. He is still the truth and the only real truth. And every good thing we get, the true things we get, come from the Father of heaven. It comes from our Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit. And praise the Lord that we have Jesus Christ, who is our advocate before the Father. Amen. When he came to us, he was the walk of truth, and it continues to be the truth. He says of himself, I am the truth of the life. He is the truth. And so we just need to remember that as we go through our day-to-day things, we don't need to take for granted having an active dependence on the Holy Spirit. And so we really need to be reading our word and praying. And I work full time just like most people, and sometimes days get busy. But there are other times where we may have 10 minutes to step away outside or go into an empty conference room or go, you know, open our word and read and get fed for 5 to 10 minutes so that seed can get in us, so we can have a relationship. So when it comes time for us to stand on God's word, we're actually having within us, and then we will receive the benefits of him being in fellowship with us. So we just need to learn to really depend on the Holy Spirit, because when we do that and we depend on God and everything that we do, then we understand why the psalmist is saying that God is our stronghold and we take refuge in him in times of trouble, in times of need, because he is our stronghold. Amen. Lastly, we talked about this a little bit earlier, understand that all truth and real truth and wisdom comes from above. And in our Bible, our word, is our center as a believer. That is where we focus when it comes to what is really true, what is really wisdom. Because in this world, sometimes people have their own minds on and they will walk in certain ways or speak in some ways that's in contradiction to the Bible. Okay, and so what we need to remember is that all great wisdom, we just talked about it earlier, is that every perfect gift comes from God, And God is wisdom. He's not just offering wisdom. He is wisdom. He is it. Men's wisdom is nothing compared to God's wisdom. Men's ways is nothing compared to God's will, because God is perfect and men are not. I like the way Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians. And he says in chapter 1, verse 25, he says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." Amen. And so we just need to remember, as we depend on the Holy Spirit, we need to also remember who is the source, who provides us everything that we need, and that we can take confidence and great joy in knowing that the Holy Spirit that we're dependent on is linked to our Heavenly Father. And from Him, all perfect things come to us. And He is wiser than anything we will encounter here in this world, and He is our stronghold, and He will not lead us astray. He never promised us that we won't go through nothing. He never promises that. What He promised us was that He will not leave us as orphans. He will send us the Holy Spirit, and He will be there with us to walk with us through this life until He calls us to be with Him in eternity. Amen?
Amen. 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 God bless you, brother. God bless you, Minister Price. God bless you. What a powerful word from God. Is to strengthen us, to encourage us, to let us know that God is still on His throne.
Amen.
And so you got something else you'd like to depart? Why are y'all doing at the church where you are right now?
We're doing real good. The church is continuing to grow in kingdom works.
Amen.
We're pretty excited that the men's ministry is starting to kick off a little bit. Because as in a lot of churches, you know, sometimes the men's ministry tends to be the most difficult to get going, because many men are working and providing for their homes, and it's hard to kind of pull men together. But the men's ministry is going; it's starting to kick off real good, and I'm pretty excited because we took a break for a few weeks during the holidays for my children's ministry. And that started up last week, and so we're getting back in the groove of that, and that's one of my favorite ministries during the week. And so things are going really well. And the great thing about I've always said about working in ministry is that God is still feeding you during the times that you're actually up serving and working. Because at the end of the day, you can sit, you can read, and just be comfortable and read the word all day long, but at some point, you know, you got to get in the game. Amen. We can sit on the end of the bench the whole time and theorize on what it would like to be, but instead you get out there. After a while, Lord puts you in the game. You get out there, start sweating, and start rubbing elbows with folks. That's when your growth process continue in that way. So yes, I believe that it's going pretty well.
Well, praise the living God. It's so good speaking with you once again, and God bless you. We want to hear you again next week. Amen?
Yes, sir. You as well. You as well.
Tonight is a night that I just thank God once again for Jason, the Word of God, young minister of God. God is moving him in the right direction. A lot of people got to get their hands. Even when the son is of elder age, you got to talk to him. As long as the father lives physically, he should tell the son, "I am your biological father, and thus saith the Lord." As we live in this world today, we see so much is going on. We're trying to reach as many as we can. We don't have one thing to tell some people. God is able. He's able. But you got to want to be taught. Somebody that want to get to sit down and be taught, you got an issue with yourself, what you're doing, because teaching is the top of all that needs to be done. Because when you teach, you tell, you expose. When you expose the truth, somebody loves the truth. And I will say this to you. If you love what you love, God loves you, and you love God. Amen. To God be the glory. Trying to get a lady on here. Praise God. Amen. We're just here. We believe in God for the thing that God is doing. And God has said to us, He loves us. But you know, there are many issues that are happening today in our lives. And in America, we live in a society where there's racism, there's bigotry, there's stupidity, there's anger, there's maliciousness. You name it, but I say this to you with all kindness. We need to say what to God. We need to push ourselves to the next level and understand that God is all we have. And I tell you this with love. When God hears your cry, God's going to send them up to you. This lady I'm getting ready to talk to was at Texas Southern. Great, great woman of God. But you know, she got some issues. The devil has attacked all of us. So I said, let's get together and beat up on him. In one name, Jesus. By the blood that Jesus bore on his back for us. And so I will say this to you. Stay ready, because we get ready to hit the airwaves. We're going to hit them with thunder. I'm here to tell you the God that we talk to. Amen. Hallelujah. Hello?
Hello.
And I just want to do a quick
hello.
Because tell me who you are,
Dr. Hunter.
I'm here.
Yeah, I can barely hear you.
Okay,
I'm on my
I
cell
got
phone.
The mic down. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Well, praise the living God. It's so good to
yes.
Your voice. It's so good. I prayed for you last night and believe God for the things that we have talked about. And, you know, I have a Christian radio station. I have different people on now. But I want to bring you in a different venue because we've got some people that need some help. You name it from A to Z.
Oh, yes.
And if, amen. Tell the people
yes,
what God has blessed you with.
Tell them what now? What do you want me to tell them?
Tell them, yeah, what God has blessed you with. See, I'm recording it because I'm going to show you how to listen to it.
Oh, okay. Well, my name is Carol, and I've been blessed with a lot of things because right now I'm living on borrowed time. I'm a dialysis patient. I've been so since March of 2007, and I feel like it was my second lease on life. I really do. When I was in the hospital, I had what I call an epiphany. I felt like I was being visited by the Holy Ghost. I really do.
Amen.
I'm not sure what that, you know, how that's supposed to feel, but I felt as a result of coming out of that crisis, I've now been under the resolve to become a lot more understanding of my faith. I've started Bible study classes. I go to church much more regularly than I used to. And I just feel like I was anointed in some way. I feel like I
Amen.
Have some reason to still be here. And I'm trying to figure
Amen.
Out what
well,
that is.
Well, I won't just say this because I love you. Now, you went to TSU and I went to TSU. And
no, I didn't go to TSU. I was a teacher at TSU when I first got out of graduate school.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
That was
you
my first job after I finished graduate
okay.
school.
That's right. Well, help me to get
and
it
I taught,
See,
I didn't have a full-time position. I taught part-time in two different departments. English department, I taught freshman composition, and in the Upward Bound program that was targeting at-risk students in high schools, trying to get them prepared
uh-huh.
for a college career. I taught math and also concept mathematics and also English literature, English writing, basically, composition.
Well, let me ask you this. What if
mm-hmm.
the Lord moved me to give you 30 minutes of time on this radio station at your time that you can manage whatever you want to talk about?
Okay. Give me some time to make a preparation because I have a tendency to want to
know
what
I'm
going before
I
do
it,
you know?
Well,
I had
a
radio show when I was
page.
In college, but it was all scripted. I just had to read from a script. So this is different.
Yeah.
This is kind of extemporaneous, and I feel
yeah.
like a little bit lost because of that. So I need to
well,
some,
I know what
have
God's
time
do
to
for you.
Something to talk about.
Amen. Well, I know what God's going to do for you. I know God's going to heal you. He's going to get you to stand up because a lot of said, and I'm here to tell people I've met, I've had a lady call me and helped her to pray all the way back to New Jersey, and she's
wow.
a woman of God. And she's got some missions. I said, look, here's what God wants. To as many as could believe, all things are possible.
Right.
And God showed me the other night when I saw you, God said, she has no business in that rider. He said, she needs to be up walking. I said, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
You heard me? I said, lady. I said, whoa. And I said, well, oh, Lord. I said, people going to think I'm crazy. But I'm going to tell you this. God
well,
the
people who've been through
do.
Something like this don't think you're crazy.
I know it, you know, but that doesn't
mm-hmm.
bother me. I have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I have fun because I know what God wants to use you for. And you spoke so intellectually last night about how we the people.
Yeah, we need to make demands of
the
people who are supposed to be representing us in government to make sure that they do what's best for us, not what's best for them. That's
well,
what I was talking about last night.
I know,
the fact that Governor Perry refused to expand Medicaid and as a result cut a lot of people off from health care that they need, I think that was atrocious on his part. Just because he wants to stick his thumb up in the face of President Obama, he's going to disadvantage all kinds of people as a result. I thought that was horrible on his part. And I feel like we need to get him out of office because he's not there.
Well, I mean, is this his last year?
Excuse me?
Is this his last year?
I'm not sure, but I know he's coming up for re-election, and there's somebody going to be running against him on the Democratic ticket. What's her name? Megan, the lady who stood up for women's rights?
Wendy.
Yes. Wendy, what was the last name?
Wendy Davis.
I forget her last name, but all I know is she did what was right at the time, and I want to back.
Yeah.
I want to support her and back her, and make it possible for somebody other than Governor Perry to get that position.
Well,
I think
he's basically shown
us that he's not worthy.
But let me ask you this: do you think it's possible that America has gone CZY crazy?
No, I think we're at a turning point. I think we're in this divided Congress that we're dealing with. It's a turning
uh-huh.
point. That means we have to make a decision as to which way to go. And I
yeah.
think the fact that Obama got reelected is God telling us something,
yeah.
the direction he wants us to go in.
Well, I know that I'm
toward inclusion,
that
not
forward.
Exclusion.
No, inclusion. Because a lot
toward
of
inclusion, not
see.
Exclusion. Toward bringing everybody
inclusion.
Together. Not, just focusing on a select few.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what?
That's my
there are a lot of people.
It.
Well, I know, but there are a lot of people.
And all these disasters we've been through, the drought, Hurricane Sandy, Hurricane Katrina, it's all God trying to tell us something. It's time for us to make a move in the right direction.
It's time. And that's what I'm doing.
I really feel that. I truly feel that.
Well, I feel it. I know, see, because 3 years ago, I wasn't even supposed to be here, but I'm here because God's grace has kept me here for a reason.
And yeah, that's what I feel. I wasn't supposed to be here either. I was supposed to be gone by now, but I'm still here. I've had my 3 score and 10, and I'm still going. So I'm thinking that there's a reason for that. That's something I have to accomplish before I leave this earth.
And I know that God has a great gift that he has for us. Because Jesus said, well, if we can believe, and I want you to know, I believe, you believe, and there are many, many more that come on the radio station that will believe, because I'm going to get with you and talk with you. I'm going to keep you on the air with me while I'm talking, because
okay.
I want you to know, we have to understand what God wants to do for us. He's made a commitment.
Right.
He's made a promise.
We've got to figure out what our destiny is and do it.
Amen.
That's really what I feel I'm still here for.
Well, let me ask you, what time do you like?
Well, this is the time that I can really talk to people because during the day I'm busy trying to get well, you know. I'm either on dialysis or I'm at physical therapy. But in the evenings,
okay.
that's when I can sit down and talk to people.
Okay.
Like now.
Well, then, would you
now,
go to,
today
would you
I had
go
a date with Tyler Perry on OWNS Network, but I'm deciding to just put that off, put that aside, and deal with it as a rerun when I finally get the chance to go back to that program. You wanted me on at 8 o'clock? That's when Tyler Perry's miniseries comes on on the Oprah Network. And I was planning to look at that, but this is more important.
Well, see, the Word of God, like I told people, all I want to do is reach the unreached and tell the untold. Because
yes.
we've got right here in Houston 4.3 million people. And 2/3 of those people don't even know the truth.
That's true.
We got more killings going on in Houston, all over Houston. But I'll say this, why are the preachers who are supposed to preach the gospel? Why are the fivefold ministers? Why are they? Are they hiding behind what God has blessed them for? And see, it took me time to study up on this.
Mm-hmm.
The fivefold, like I'm a preacher. It's nothing but a gift. It's no,
and it's supposed
no
to be used for something.
Deal.
You're not supposed to sit on it.
And
like whenever I go to Mass on Sundays, the last thing the priest says to us is, go forth and preach the gospel.
That's what it's
and
all about.
And I keep
about.
Thinking to myself, well, I don't know it well enough to be able to preach it. I need to study it a little bit longer before I can feel confident
well, you know,
enough to come out and say the right thing, you know? I know
well,
what I feel.
Jesus.
I know what I've been through. But that's not good enough. You got to know more than that. You got to know what
know.
Jesus had to tell you to do. You got to follow what he told you to follow.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
The one thing that I would say to you, you're already reaching, you're going around the internet now. Voices
mm-hmm.
are hearing you through the entire world, hearing you right now. We got 1,500 people online.
Don't you have a computer
right
that works like that? I don't have a computer like that.
Yeah.
Mine is old. I think I bought this computer back in the 1970s, and I'm still using it.
God,
I need to upgrade it so I have speakers on it so I can listen and video, streaming video so I can watch.
Well, I know this much because you know what I thank God for? What I told people, 20 years ago, I used to get KHOU. I used to have a program on a Sunday morning called Set the Echoes Ringing. If this voice of mine makes yeah, and I was a part of that. That's when it got planted in my spirit to reach out and touch somebody. And it was free.
Mm-hmm.
But the man came in at KHOU and said, we're losing $9,000 for 30 minutes. We could be making that money. They canceled us out. So I said, okay, God's going to give me a chance. Here I am now. And I say at the age of 68, I say these words, to God be the glory. And one of the things I want to do, I want to reach out and tell somebody what God has done for me.
Well, I do
God
that whenever I reach some, whenever I come into contact with somebody who wants to listen. I don't try to push it. You don't proselytize,
no,
but
you know,
what you do is when people are ready to hear, then you talk to them about it.
And so
that's what that's the way I figure how to do it. You know.
Yes.
Don't go around pushing anything. but be available to people when they want to hear.
When they want to hear. That's exactly what I always say. Some want to hear, some don't want to hear.
Yeah, they have to be ready.
Yeah.
Well, that illness that I went through made me very ready.
nothing like a
near-death experience to make you ready to hear.
We still live to look through the flesh and say, we heal. Well, you know, we ain't left the flesh, so we can see through the wonders of the flesh, and we'll believe
in
God. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
With so much is happening, and I believe what God is going to do for you, or he's already doing it better for you, but we got to see, I will say to you, you are the pitcher, the ball in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You look it up and down, you got the bases loaded.
Mm. You got to figure out which way to throw it.
Yeah, you got to call timeout.
Mm.
You call the back catcher in, said, come in, let me talk to you. Said, the score is 1-1. But I'm going to throw a fastball, but it's going to be where he can walk outside and somebody going to try to break for home. That's what we're going to put him out. We got to have a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
If we got a strategy, the word of God is a strategy. We can beat the devil at his own game.
Right.
And I've just been praying. I said, Lord, please let her. I call you the radio lady. I said, Lord, please don't let the radio lady call me. 1 hour belongs to you. It's a gift from God for you.
Okay, well,
it's
I can't really give
God.
It to you today. You know,
no,
I just got back from
no,
a heavy
no,
day
no.
of physical
no,
therapy.
No.
But can we put this
no,
off
no.
to a day when I'm really prepared?
Let me tell you something.
You sort of caught me at
I'm
a moment when I wasn't
this.
Really ready to say much other than thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, what I want you to know is this. I'm not putting it up until February, but I'm giving you ample time. What you need to do, I can text you and tell you, and you can go from there, because I'm saying to you, I'm giving it to you free.
Yeah.
To talk.
Well, I see it on
so
this
we
website that you got here. You can set up your own radio show. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. That's what they've done.
You're creating a podcast that you host?
Yeah. I'm the host.
And when does it go out? Does it go out as you're talking?
It's live. I have so much time, 3 hours, that I'm on each time. Everybody's on 3 hours.
And you
hours.
Have to figure out how to fill that time.
Yeah. I got many people that's on there. Some people didn't show them, but I desire today to come on today because I want to speak to you. I want you to know that who I am, and you're on the voice with me. And I want you to know that I thank God for you. I know what God's going to do for you. I know what God's going to do for you. And you know what they said? Like, ooh, that lady, she is like she's the queen living in a big old house.
I've been through a lot. And maybe what we can do is talk about some of that on the program.
You know what I said? I say nobody but a jackal and a snake. Always jealous. I came out of Bryan, Texas, where we had four rooms in the house. But now God has blessed us. I know your time is important, but I wanted to know. I thank God for you listening to being on that with us. And I want you to know, whenever you get ready, it belongs to you.
Oh, well, I will definitely get back with you. Probably later on this week.
Well, you take your time. Don't get yourself. You ask God. Make sure God says you. Because if God said
I'm going to pray over it, too, so that will help me figure out
what I should prepare. It's a done deal. Yeah.
Okay, then.
All right. So I love you, and I do, too. Before you go into this.
Love you, too.
Father,
and thanks for meeting me. I feel like the fact that I ran into you on the Metrolift van was something that was put together by God. I really do.
Amen. Amen. Well,
amen to that.
Father, we thank you tonight for our ability to meet one another and the work that you have assigned to us individually and collectively to do. We come thanking you this night in Jesus' name of Nazareth. And we love you and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 And thank you again, Mr. Hunter.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you. No, thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
I see you on the line, but I can't get the line up, so hold on.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Congratulations. You have been selected to take part in our anonymous survey. Please take our 30-second question. And to save that, we'll offer you an exclusive gift.
Hello, hey, how you doing?
Doing blessed.
Are you on?
I'm on.
Hello? Praise
I'm
the
on.
Lord. Amen. Can you
Amen.
Hear me?
I can hear you very well.
Amen. I have to learn something tonight with this internet. You know, when you got this thing on the internet, you got to watch everything you do. Everything,
Amen.
Because you just never know what's going to happen. What God has placed on your heart?
Well, I really was able to understand tonight how the enemy can commandeer you, or commandeer your emotions. You know that word?
Yes.
You know, he can hijack you.
He can hijack you.
He can hijack you
on the side.
With your guard down. And when I say with your guard down, when you when we don't pay attention to what God have already opened our eyes to.
Right.
And they're looking forward to. You know, he takes advantage of simple things that in our makeup. I put it like this. He takes advantage of simple things in our MO.
That's it. That's
the
it.
Enemy
it
knows a human being very well. He knows men and he knows women.
Yes.
He's a professional. And one thing we got to do, and it's not so much as focusing on him, but in warfare, military intelligence is a very important group within a strategy room, because you need to know your enemy, and you need to know what the Word of God says we have to defeat him.
Well, let me say it like this here. I need to know if you're going to shoot a 8mm 155. The velocity is different. The eight millimeter is a big gun that shoots about 25. With 155, will shoot about 25 miles. But you want the maximum strength. When you hit that bullet, you want to hit it pinpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand what you're saying.
You talking about five, four, six. I don't know that one very well, because you got your forward area observers. Go ahead now.
That's right.
You know, and
he's
then they
looking
tell
at you look at this one.
Yeah, they give you the signal. Adjust that round and fire for effect.
Fire for effect.
I know that one.
God.
That's what we want to do right there. That's what the topic of tonight's discussion is right there. Because one thing about it is emotions are not bad. That's part of who we are. But the enemy
yeah.
can use against us. And I understand what was going on this evening, and it just didn't happen this evening. It has happened a lot of evenings.
Yeah.
It has happened a lot of times, especially over this year with the death of loved ones, with past situations. And you know what? As Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark. Now, you're not going to forget, you know, your loved ones. You're not going to forget the situation, but you got to forget it where it doesn't have an impact on your emotions or how you walking forward. Go ahead,
that's
somebody.
My God. Preaching.
I'm preaching from experience. You heard me a few hours ago.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is it's all right to remember, but not to the point where it take you back. Because you got to keep moving forward.
I hear you.
And I would never forget my brother, but it ain't no sense of me remembering those things in a way that it'd be an offense in me. Because if we get offended, that's the end of God's plan right there.
That's it.
Once you get offended, you step right out the will of God. You cannot walk forward offended. Come on now. And see, that's what it was
the intent of all that.
Because, see, it was some rough stuff that came with it now. And the enemy was over there stirring the pot, and his little demons was doing the war dance. They had put their war paint on. Look at now. We get ready to jump on her now. We got her going because this one is a good one. And he was just throwing his little crow feet in and all kind of stuff. He killed a chicken over there, throwing that in the pot. But no, one thing about it is if you look at what Jesus did, see, this thing is real simple. He did it all, and Isaiah put it like this: He was bruised for our iniquity.
Yes.
The chastisement of our peace, come on now, somebody, was upon him. And by his stripes, we heal. It's too simple now. You can take it 1, 2, 3 step, baby, and that's it right there. Everything stopped with them three, because we forgiven, he's given us peace, and he gave us healing and deliverance from everything.
It's that simple.
And he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way out of everything. He's the truth for every situation, and he is our life now and eternally. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. We got the power for his tech as we walk through this, and he's already given us everything for it. All we got to do is just show up.
You know what I've learned is that from the days of soldiering, I'd always wonder why that sergeant was coming out. When I first come into service, he'd bring that, "Every one of you sleepyheads, you better wake yourself up. I'm in charge. You go, I mean, be beating those beds you're sleeping on, bang, 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 bang." I said, "Why this man messing with me?" But you know what he was doing? He was getting me ready for the war. And
Amen.
God is preparing us because we are headed for a war right here in America. I know it's up to where you live at. What happened to the governor up there?
Okay.
What are these soldiers? shoot?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. See, these people, they building their house on the sand, and they're building on the sand, and they're not building on the truth, you know. And they're laying up these treasures on earth. That stuff ain't gonna last.
No,
you're trusting in men, and you're trusting in yourself, and you're trusting in what you can see. It ain't gonna work like that. You think you're gonna be president?
No.
You sitting up here gonna exalt yourself? No, you ain't gonna be nothing but what God called you to be. You know, and if you don't acknowledge him, then you ain't worship him.
My prayer, amen. I thank God for what you said. I'm just going to sit back and eat and listen.
Mm-hmm. You know what? God is good. You know what? He's so good that, you know what, every contact was wiped out of my address book tonight. I said, you know what? They're just showing me that it's been an effective night. every contact. The only way I got your contact is you sent me a text message. I said, okay, I know that's Dr. Hunter. But every contact I got was wiped out. All I could do was laugh. Because I said, this is an effective thing. It's just showing me how effective it is. Then I got a call from the evangelist said, we got a soul that turned his life over to Christ. I said, you see there? I know it's been effective.
See?
I said, praise God. Okay.
That's what this is all about.
Amen. And that needed to get out of me tonight. And I, you know what? You know the word. You know what the words say. But until that thing, that light come on. Come on, that
yeah.
Revelation. Come on. We don't.
Yes.
And that happens. That's when you can. It can be a testimony in your life, and you can. Okay, I know what it is right now. And I can move on, and I don't have to come back to this mountain anymore. But I can also help somebody that's dealing with that same issue. And Corinthians say that?
Yeah,
how you
can
get out of it and help somebody else now. Hey, man, come on now, somebody.
Well,
I'm ready.
I want to tell you this. For the first time tonight, I watched everything that they have shown me to do on the Internet, everything. The phones got stuck. Couldn't get anybody on. I said, you know what? I said, it must be a victory somewhere. Because, see, every time the enemy stirs the pot, Jesus.
Ooh. Hallelujah. He was stirring. I mean, he had it going. And I mean, you know what? That was my brother I was on the phone with. That man used to pray for me as I was going out the door trying to get some crack cocaine. He used to be praying for me, asking me, please don't do that, Sonya. Hey, boy, leave me alone. And that was that same brother on the phone tonight. And, you know, sometimes it looks like our lives spiritually have flipped around, but I got to leave him alone. Because he delivered that word tonight.
Amen.
That Holy Ghost used him. And you know what? He was very effective. And the thing about it is, see, when you're in a time like that, you've got to be careful of who you speak to.
Thank you. The enemy always got to use listen.
Mm-hmm.
He's always listening. Where your weakness at now? Where your weakness?
Mm-hmm.
Where your weakness? Where your weakness?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I met a lady last night on the bus that I was riding on because in Houston they got Metro buses we use. And they have those of us with disabilities to move around. And this lady was 7 years old. I knew her voice. I knew her ability to be able to use words, connect them. And I said, did you not go to TSU? She said, I used to teach there. And we began to talk. And you know what? She began to say, I got a lot to tell people what God has done for me. She's 70 years old.
Amen.
She said she's had a kidney problem. The enemy has attacked her. And I told her, I said, no, God has made us contact. Because what's going to happen, he's going to raise up this generation. For a generation, because we're going to win this war. God is not going to lose it. Before he loses it, come on, get out the way.
Mm-hmm. It's already won.
But we got
all you
got
to do is
put
It's already won. Just put your uniform on and stand up.
Stand up. Like I said to the, I was telling them yesterday, matter of fact, I was thinking, I said, back in the day when I should have went on to become a lieutenant, I probably would have a general by now. And the devil said, no, you can do better than that. You've been a two-star general. And I said to myself, I said, I got three stripes up in 18 months. I said, how in the world the devil going to let me move that fast in 1964? I was glad to get those three stripes because I earned them. But it brought me to an understanding. You take the position you have and you operate in it. If a four-star general says it's time to move, if we move. If he said to the commanding officer, the four-star general, say, I want Division 3 to hold. We don't know why he's gotten them hold, but we got to obey what he said. Sometimes God puts us on hold so he can move and trust in a position. And I told people, if he means God does, I see does, because he got some warriors who coming in that we've got to train. We've got to train some people.
That's
some people don't even know how to call the name of the Lord.
That's make disciples. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples.
Make disciples.
Come on, somebody. It's too simple what we call it. Instead of doing all this other stuff, let's get back to basic and do what he asked us to do.
And you know what I told some people, because I'm starting the revival in February in Houston, in Houston, Texas. They said, "Mike, you know, you're not ready for no revival." I said, "You know what? You're absolutely right. I am not ready, but God's ready."
Uh-huh. God's, and it ain't on us. It's on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's not our revival. Mm-hmm. See, people get it backwards. They get it twisted. It's the Holy Ghost thing.
I know it. But tell me this. How do we get people to come to the point where we can help them? Huh?
We just got to be available. You know, Jesus didn't go out He was just available. And Jesus and Paul, they just went where the Holy Ghost led them.
Ah.
And so, see, we be trying to get these agendas, and as we pray, we get our direction, and we get up and move out and be spiritually courageous. Quit being scared and all this stuff. This town was a town of man. We need to quit being scared and step out. And do what God say do.
Are you scared?
I ain't scared no more. I was scared, but I ain't scared no more.
What happened to make you more bold?
What happened to make me more bold was, you know what? I really understood what was going on with me. I used to be scared, but you know what? I ain't scared no more.
My God.
The Lord opened my eyes as to what was happening to me, what was going on to me, how the enemy was sabotaging me. And the thing about it is, you know what? When you haven't heard from the Lord, you can tell. When God do something internally in you, you can tell.
Yes.
Because you ain't counting down no more. It's all over. And
it's all over. Like I told you.
If you want the Lord,
like
you can show him.
Amen.
And that's what I want. I want Jesus. And it's not about these folks or what this, you know, what they call church nowadays. Because you know what? It ain't about all that. It's about the souls being saved for the kingdom. And it's about doing God's will for our lives. And not about this town. Being entertained in the church service and all this entertainment going on in the body of Christ.
He's
all right with all that going on with him. But what about the souls being saved? What about the disciples being made? What about the burdens being removed and the yokes being destroyed because of the anointing? What about us being carriers of the Lord? You know, it's time for us to get disciplined and you know all that. When you in training, your diet is different. When you in training, your schedule is different.
Yes.
You're not focused on those things. They take you from home, take you from familiar environments, and put you in a certain environment, and they keep you focused on a day to day. When you was in boot camp, you was pulled out of your normal surroundings. And you was focused. People go to boot camp and they come back looking totally different. And see, when they see us, we ought to look totally different. We're peculiar people. So we need to stop looking like this world.
Yes.
So that's something we have to identify personally. Can't nobody put that finger at you. See, you know, it's you that with the Lord, he can show us where all those things on us that need to come off.
It's time for personal
conviction to fast and pray and seek God. Because Jesus said, this kind goeth not out but by fasting and praying. there's certain places you ain't going to go without fasting and praying yourself. I mean, sometimes, you know, you call collectively to do that. But the bottom line is it starts with us. The change we want to see, we need to be, especially in the body of Christ.
Amen.
All this entertainment is out because we were called to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, for us to surrender our life, what do that mean? You know, lay your life down. That's what he called us to do as a follower of Christ. You know, a lot of people say they follow Christ, but they don't look like it. And that's what I got to ask myself, am I following Christ? Or am I following me? Or am I following what somebody says? You know, the latest trend. Well, who am I following here? You're just talking about me now. Don't want to upset nobody today. Those are my questions that's going on with me. This is my personal issue that I'm airing out tonight. Because if I follow Christ, you ought to see something from that.
Yeah.
You ought to see the fruit from my tree. Come on now.
Yes,
what fruit
yes.
am I bearing? But see, this thing is personal. Ain't no time for me to be looking at other folks because, see, first I need to look at myself. If I ain't
Amen.
Got all the
folks
out my eye, how I'm going to pick your eye?
Amen. You did some good teaching, some good preaching. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. So that's where you're
going to
found me at, Dr.
Yeah. Nathan. Like I told you, my daddy used to call me, what was it, come here. What did I tell you my daddy
Butch.
Used to call me?
Butch.
Come here, Butch. Come here, Butch. Butch. That ain't my name. That's a dog name. Come here, Butch. Come here, Butch. Like you're giving me a bone with no meat on it. See, but God has placed us strategically in a place to do his will.
Amen.
Sometimes in the military in Germany, I was 40 miles from the next unit, but I could always get on that telephone and call him. This is KXYZ1. Over. KXYZ1. This is KXYZ2. We copy. Come back. We got the We give X and Y. We need to define this. We at the bottom of it. We at this place. We want you to fire for effect. But don't fire to hit. Fire for effect. I want you to put a white bag in there so we can, when it falls down, it explodes about 10 feet from hitting so we can see where it's falling. And that's what God wants us to do. Let his word be persistent. When we hit that sin, hit that disease, the anointing that's upon us causes that to cut it loose in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Satan can't do nothing. We have already got power over him. I like what you said, sister.
Amen. Mm. You know, I was we work with some young girls. It's kind of like, just to describe it to you, it's kind of like Girl Scouts, but it's for Christ. And the young lady vision that she had for it was she called them young fearless rubies. And we've got about, I guess, 5 girls. And we were talking last night about what she believed the Lord was speaking to her for the girls for this year. And all of a sudden, what came out was that what if we live like If we lived as more than conquerors, what if we live like we always cause to triumph?
Mm.
What if we walked around here like we sit in heavenly places?
Stirring up a fire, girl. You stirring up fire.
Amen.
You stirring up a fire. You got
what
more people listening to you.
If you could imagine me living as God said for me to live, what if we did that? What if we walked around here and was anxious for nothing? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, making our request known to God. What if we acted like we don't have a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind? What if we did those things? What would life look like for us? What if we forgot all those things that are behind and pressed toward the call of the high call of God in Christ Jesus? What if we did that? Man, both of us got happy, but we need to go from being happy to being to manifesting.
Yeah. Amen. 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 And that's exactly what I was going to say, woman of God, is that we will see the power and we will see the manifestation of the what if. And amen. And that's how we should walk. We should walk in the same attributes and characteristics as our Heavenly Father, as Jesus Christ, because he has already made us more than a conqueror. He already has made us to triumph. He's already made us victorious. And that's the thing that we have to plant that seed into the people. You know, the Word of God says to reprove, then rebuke. So we need to go back to retraining. And that's the whole key thing. A lot of people have been taught the wrong way. Because those are the things that we have to put. Let this mind that be in Christ be in thee also. And it starts with renewing the mind. And we have to renew the minds of the people. You know, we got the same way, and I can't remember who the man was in the Bible, but it says, we believe, but help me with my unbelief. And
that was the man with his son, with his boy that the enemy would throw in the fire. The demon would throw him in the fire and throw him in the water.
Amen.
And the disciples couldn't cast it out. That's when Jesus was coming off the Mount of Transfiguration. But you know what? You are confirming what we talked about earlier, this retraining. We was on that before you got on the call, so that ain't nothing but confirmation.
Amen. To God be the glory. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And that's the whole key thing, because he sent his son. We're so ready to condemn. We're so ready to bring out the switch. You know, we're ready to chastise, and we're ready to condemn people. But what about retraining people, as the Word of God said? He sent Jesus, his son, to save, not to condemn. And that's the thing. We got to offer the people, come on, here's your chance. Love people out of that place that they're in. Somebody loved us in that place. God loved us in that place. Because if he didn't love us in that place, he never would have sent his son. Because when back in Genesis, when I think in the second or the third chapter, when God said that he had to repent because he hated that he had made man.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Don't you know he could have wiped us out then? But because he loved us so much, he wanted to give us a chance he wanted to give us a chance to let us see that we can have that heaven on earth. There was nothing that Adam and Eve did not need, did want for, that God did not already supply. And this way he's trying to get our mindset right back to all those questions you just asked, the what if. Well, if our mindset is what God said it should be, then we know that we already have all these things. I got to pull out my Bible. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes. And chapter 3, everybody know Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There's a time and a season for everything. But something stuck out to me that God had me to revisit Ecclesiastes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Chapter 3. I think it was verse 15. See, this is the stuff that we need to retrain and help the people. Yes, 3:15. It says, that which has been is now, and that which is to be has already been. And God requires that which is of the past. Everything that we're living right now is already been. It's already been and it's already now. Because we were all predestined before we was even in our mother's womb. God said, I knew you.
Amen.
He knew. He knew us. But how do you get people to believe that they already been? And all they got to do is walk out what God is already predestined. Only through the word of God is only through training. He requires that was of the past. The past has already been performed. The past has already been done. One day for God is like 1,000 days, 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day for God.
Amen.
Who do we know? Who do we know in this earthly time has lived 1,000 years?
Amen.
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 Amen. None of us. So therefore, it's already been done. Everything that we need to be done. I'm trying to get back, and I'm trying to get people's mindset. I'm trying to get back where I'm already seated. He says, we're already joint heirs, already seated on the right hand of Christ. Is that not what we have to pray to people to get their mindset to be where they're already been, where they already at? Because we have to tell the people the truth of the matter. This fleshly thing, which we call a human body, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, shall it return. God is interested in soul. Stop trying to please this fleshly thing and please that soul, feed that soul.
Amen.
What we need to feed the people's soul. We need to tell the people the truth. Even
Amen.
How God made you fearfully and wonderfully made, and you're beautiful. But
Amen.
That's going to turn back. That's going to turn back the dust. Let's deal with the inner. That's what God deals with. He deals with the inner man.
Amen.
And it's something that you said, you know, that we should be, people should recognize us. We are peculiar people.
Mm-hmm. We shouldn't
we
be
shouldn't.
Looking like that. Ain't no way
right.
we
That's
should
right.
be talking to the world, looking like a girl. It's something about them. I don't know what it is, but it's something that I want, is what they should be saying. It's something that
and,
I want.
That's right. What Apostle Paul said. Follow after me as I follow after Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be standing out the same way. Follow
mm-hmm.
after me as I follow after Christ.
Amen.
But our light should be shining. He says, I'll take you from glory to glory. Glory, when your light begins to shine, you begin to illuminate.
Amen. And if it ain't because shining, we need to seek what is. It's snuffing out our light. Yes. Amen.
I hear you.
Amen.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sister, you there? You teaching a good word tonight.
She dropped out. She'll be back. But I will say this. One thing that God is saying, you go ahead and finish. Go on and teach it because you're on the right path. Go ahead.
Go ahead, doctor, if you got something right now. I'm just, that you know, that was just an excellent word that was coming through. Because.
Put a little more on it. Go ahead, put a little more on it. Five for effect.
And when the sister came on talking about, we have been taught wrong. We have been taught wrong, and there's been a wrong teaching going forth. Because It's always got to be just Jesus. It's all, the focus has to be on Jesus and Jesus crucified.
Amen.
Because that's what it is, and our lives should be governed by Jesus and Jesus crucified. Because anything else will take us off the mark. And focusing on other things take us off the mark. Because we have to go out and make disciples. You know, we have to go out and preach the gospel and make disciples. Whenever we our mission, we are distracted and we're being infiltrated by the enemy. Go ahead.
That's it.
We have to stay on the focus of getting souls saved for the kingdom, because that's exactly what Jesus said. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples. Whenever we get off that mark, the enemy is infiltrated, and it's like the wheat and the tares. Who sowed those tares in the field? And the enemy did it. Didn't he come at night while we were asleep? See, we are not aware of what's going on when we get off the path of what Jesus called us to. We got to stay on that path. And that is what is so important for the body of Christ to focus on, is preaching the gospel and making disciples.
And you know what? That's something that we have to just constantly do, because we have people who want to know what they know. And I always say this: I don't think I know as much as I want to know. I keep studying, I keep praying, I keep asking God, give me wisdom, give me knowledge, and give me understanding. Because I don't want, the best is in the kingdom, is Jesus Christ. And the only way we're going to have to get some more people there, we got to go out and tell them. Because the world hates us. Jesus said, remember, the world hated me first. And the Bible tells us they hate him without a cause. They hate him. Who does he think he is? That's what the demon says. It's in the book. He got the salvation. We know he's the Son of God. We know he's the chosen one of God. But why are you coming and messing with us? God told you up too.
Hello.
Are you there?
I'm here. My phone went straight out.
I'm telling you, that's what I'm telling you. See, because we know what is happening. See, the enemy is sending his arrows. He's missing, but he's sending stuff. See, he's trying to hit, but every time he do something flop out, we flop right back in.
Amen.
He knows that we know we got to do what's got to be done. He knows that. See, if we don't preach Jesus Christ, we're nothing but infidels.
Oh, whew.
Because the whole world. Our Savior lives forever. Mm. Born of a virgin. Hallelujah. He was born in this world. And I always tell people like this, beloved. I said, when you see what the word says, and the Bible says in Matthew, when you come in, he said, this is my beloved son. You heard the voice. Say, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God spoke. We saw the son and getting baptized, and the angel was like a dove, like an angel, the Holy Spirit, hovering over him. It didn't end him until after he went and did what God sent him on. When he went and did what he did, I told the devil, I said, you know what? You're the biggest liar from the beginning to the end. Because when Jesus was driven into the wilderness, he was challenged. His flesh was. His flesh was not of this earth realm. It was of God. And when he challenged, when the enemy challenged him, he came back. He said his words. He said, man shall not live by every man shall not live by bread, but by every word
that proceed out of the mouth of God. Not you, demon. Not you, preacher. Not you, evangelist. Not you. Not you. But out of the mouth of God. So that's that established for us. And so we got to fight. Oh, I love what you're saying. I love what you said earlier. We got to just go on and fight it. We got to get in the fight, stay in the fight. It's time for looking at who's trying to see. We got more people want to go and show who they are. Well, I'm so and so and so, and I'm the so and so of the church. I don't care. Ain't bringing no souls in.
That's it.
Ain't bringing none in. More prostitutes are still out there. More men who falling in fidel, and the young children are lying. And we got to stay ready for the fight. It's 24/7.
Amen.
It's a 24/7 battle. And
amen.
I tell people that. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
What time you got on you in the town?
That time is 10:25.
This is 9:25. How much time do you have?
Whatever time you have.
Well, I'm going to give it up for 5 minutes and shut it down. Amen?
That sounds good. That sounds
all right.
Good.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you know what time and what hour you want to be on?
Tuesdays is a good time.
Okay, what time?
I can have the kids in bed by 8:30.
Okay, that's what
people do. To have them pray them in bed by.
Well, I'm
can we do something about
8
o'clock your time on Tuesday night? That will probably give me time.
Yeah,
to just
good
make
time.
Sure.
That's good time for you. Shoot, that's
yeah,
good time because I'm doing 8 o'clock. It'll be 9 o'clock your time, but it'll be 8 o'clock my
that'll
time.
That'll be excellent.
Amen. 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 Well, lead us in prayer. We go. Lead us in prayer.
All right. All right. Hallelujah. 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 Welcome, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence tonight, Father. Thank you for your Spirit's presence this evening with us as we have had this time on the radio. And Lord God, we just give you the praise today for these blessings, for these praise reports, for the breakthrough, and that you are awesome God, that you break every chain. And we praise you for it, Heavenly Father. You are an awesome God, and we thank you, Lord God, for the one soul coming to Christ tonight through the evangelist preaching and teaching of the word. And Father, we thank you for the breakthrough that I've seen in my life this evening. And Father, just
hallelujah.
Give you the praise for everything that's going on in the doctor's life, for the breakthrough in this radio broadcast and the issues that have we've experienced, Lord God. And we just thank you. You are mighty God. We thank you for the sister that was on earlier. And, Father, we just give you the praise for anybody else that was listening this evening and those that wanted to listen this evening. Father God, we just lift your name on high. We thank you for this time we've had. We believe that we receive your word, O God, and we ask you to continue to manifest it in our life. Lord, we surrender our lives to you, and we thank you that you are an awesome God. Now, Father, we surrender this station to you. We say, have your way, precious Holy Spirit. Continue to lead and guide us as we get on this radio, that we don't show you. We block every pride that tries to come through. We bind and block it. We block every work of the enemy that tries to come against us and against this station, and we loose all of heaven. We loose you, heavenly hosts. We loose you, ministering spirits. We loose you, angels encamped about us and angels that excel in strength. And we loose you, Jehovah Sabaoth, the commander of the heavenly hosts, to take over. We loose you, Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us into all truth, and that the truth is preached on this station, that souls will be touched for the kingdom of God, and they will turn their lives over to Christ, and we will be able to disciple souls after the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Father, we bind every work of the flesh right now that flesh, pride, nothing that's not of you will be able to go over this radio station in the name of Jesus. We sanctify it, oh God, and set it aside for you and your work and your words. And Father, we just thank you for this time. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, hold on, because the sister came back and she was asking the question. So we will get ready to close our sister. You got something to say, sister?
Amen. I just bless the Lord, you know. I tell you one thing. I didn't know I was kicked off the line. I didn't stop talking. And I kept on talking until I realized that I was kicked
off. Somebody kicked you off the line. I'm good.
But we give God the praise and the glory anyhow, because He told us that that He will pour His Spirit upon all flesh, so it don't make no difference what's in this house. Something heard the word of God, and I bless the Lord for it, so that it would take root and God would give the increase on where it is in Jesus' name. So I just bless the Lord. We just continue to do what God has called us to do. The what ifs have already been taken care of. The what ifs have already been done. So we just got to work it out.
Amen.
Amen.
And I want to say to y'all, the love of God is more effective. The love of God is more effective for the love we have one for another. The love of God is more effective for us to pass on to one another. The love of God is more effective to those of us we give them the word. The love of God is more effective to those that we call in. The love of God is to those that say that we don't love them, but we love them. And because of this, Father, the love is effective. We ask you through Jesus Christ, who is our author and finish our faith, you Holy Father. But Jesus said, except we come to him, and we come to you, Jesus, that you take us to the Father, that we might do what you call us to do. And, Father, I realize I've come to a better understanding. It's not what we say. It's what the Holy Father says, Jesus. You said, except the Father say the word, we don't say it. I'm asking you to give us wisdom. Give us the knowledge and understanding. Father, because I am prepared, I'm ready to do the battle. I want to thank you for sisters. I want to thank you for the prophetess. I want to thank you for the other prophetess on the phone here with us. And, Father, give us an understanding better. Not about who we are, what we are, but whose we are. We are the one who said, I am he who said, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And we want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless y'all.
Yes, sir. Amen. God bless you, sir. Amen. God
Amen.
Bless you, sister.
God bless you.
Amen.
Love you.
Amen. Love you.
Amen.